And welcome again to Brewcrew Online. I am Benjamin Orr.
I'm Colin Bennett.
And this is our first off-season show.
Woo!
Yeah, I know, right? Got to clap for that. obviously, the Brewers are no longer playing. You still have the four teams that are playing right now. But this is a Brewers show, people, so we're talking about the Brewers, which we sometimes never actually do. But, you know, hey, what's in a name? All right, Colin and I have been looking at a few things, and for those of you who do not know, we do have five free agents after, you know, the postseason ends. Francisco Rodriguez, Sean Markham, Alex Gonzalez, Yor Torrealba, and Livian Hernandez.
Right, and Torrealba and Hernandez have refused minor league designations. So that's, so they're essentially gone, I think.
I think K-Rod more so.
Yes.
Off-the-field problems, on-the-field problems, just too many things that make him a liability. Torrealba, I would have actually liked to keep, because I feel if we kept him, we kind of can use Maldonado's bat in the lineup a little bit more. You put maybe... I wrote an article on this, I think, a few weeks back, that say we didn't keep Corey Hart, we traded him for something else. And we could,
right.
We could put Maldonado at first and have him have his bat in the lineup along with Lucroy's and have Torrealba be the backup, you know, things like that. But, you know, I don't really want to subject Maldonado to just that, you know, cliche first catcher role. I think if he has something else he can do, then why not? But that's why I would have liked to at least try to keep Torrealba, but if he doesn't want to go with the minors, nothing he can do there. Livian Hernandez...
If he can't go to the minors, there's nothing we can really do with him. We can't really carry three catchers.
Yeah, and it's just, you don't need three catchers.
Not on an active roster.
Yeah, not on an NL roster. It makes no sense. Maybe with an AL roster with a DH spot, but not in the NL.
Right.
Livian Hernandez, there's no really blood loss there, nothing really lost there with him. He was a good occasional spot starter when we needed him to come in. Maybe if a pitcher couldn't go past the third inning, he could pitch, you know, three, four innings. But other than that, I wasn't highly impressed with him. I thought maybe... I don't know. I thought it was a risk kind of signing him, an older pitcher who's never really had much success. But I think this is when the Brewers start looking at guys that they don't really need, and they're starting to realize, well, you know, we have guys that can take their spots easily, and these five are good examples of it.
Absolutely. And in terms of Livian Hernandez, if you want a pitcher who can spot start and do relief, we have enough depth in the minor league system to do that, and there are several targets for starting pitchers already on the market that the Brewers are going to be interested in looking at. Kyle Loesch is a name that's come to mind a lot for them. Edwin Jackson also. Ryan Dempster's available, but probably not affordable. Dan Heron's probably the same way. And there's a possibility for Anibal Sanchez as well. But, you know, there are definitely pitchers on the market that the Brewers could get, so we don't need to hang on to the legacy of the Livian Hernandez of old and, you know, hope that continues.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is even if, you know, we can't get the Dan Heron or the Anibal Sanchez, which I still think would be a nice addition, Ryan Dempster not so much, because I kind of thought... Everybody was, you know, raving about how good his 2012 was, and then I said, no, wait till he goes to Texas, and then you'll see the Ryan Dempster of old, and I was right. Not that I'm trying to brag, but I'm just saying I never trusted Dempster. Dan Heron has the problem to where he'll do really good in the first half and then forget how to pitch in the second half.
Right.
Anibal Sanchez has done really well with Detroit, and I've been impressed by him. But I think spot starting, though, you can even go inside the 40-man roster, and you can use guys like Mark Rogers, who did fairly well. I think he made about 7 starts as a spot starter, you know, coming in, holding the Brewers in games. You can use the same with Tyler Thornburg or even Willie Peralta. The Brewers aren't really hurting the pitching department, at least starting-wise, but it'd be nice to have a backup and maybe use Thornburg or Peralta or Rogers even long-term relief, you know, have him pitch maybe 2-3 innings if needed. But, no, the Brewers, I think, are becoming a little bit more flexible with our options because they're like, well, if the guy can't start, we'll put him in the bullpen. If he can start, then, yeah, we have him, you know, something to fall back on.
Right. I think in terms of keeping along these same lines, like free agency and what have you, to move into the arbitration-eligible players, because it sort of falls along the same lines, I think. We have 9 players that are eligible for arbitration this year. Carlos Gomez was a 4th-time eligible. Cameron Lowe is his 3rd, along with Jose Veras and Manny Parra, who are also in their 3rd eligible arbitration years. And then Nigel Morgan's in his 2nd eligible arbitration year, and the 3 of them are non-tender candidates. John Axford is a 1st-time, along with Chris Narmison, Marco Estrada, and Travis Ishikawa. In this, right away, I think the only people that can really win arbitration, Carlos Gomez, Cameron Lowe, John Axford, Marco Estrada.
Yeah. Maybe throw Lowe's name in the mix somewhere, but I don't think he builds as strong as a case as the other 4. Veras and Parra, certainly not. They need to be gone.
Veras and Parra, I imagine, probably will be gone, as will Ishikawa.
Yeah, Ishikawa, I don't really think is... I don't think it's getting rid of him because he's bad. It's just we don't really have a lot of room for him.
We're getting rid of him. We would get rid of him because he's not good enough, essentially.
Yes, but, I mean, he did well in this time between the whole, oh, my God, who do we start at first because Gamble's gone and we haven't put Hurt there yet scenario.
Right.
He did well there, then he got injured. He's not a bad player, but we have players better than him, is basically what we're saying.
Essentially, yes.
Gomez is worth keeping. He had, I think, 37 steals in 2012, a pretty decent batting average, about 10 home runs, 50-some RBIs. Axford, he's our closer. You can't just toss him aside.
Not be surprised if a contract extension comes Axford's way. He didn't do fantastic in 2012, but considering the depth of available talent at closer at the prices that Milwaukee would want, I think Axford's your guy, and he still had 35 saves this year, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a slack number. I mean, despite how many blown saves he had, I think it was like 7 or 8.
Right.
He still managed to get 35 of them, you know, to be saved. So that's pretty impressive, considering the season that this bullpen had. And, you know, Marco Estrada is also another very valuable piece to this rotation, because I was very questionable of him starting, and then he just lit every lineup, you know, up. He destroyed the opposition, and he came in, and he really pitched well.
Right. And his estimated salary, MLB Trade Rumors, by the way, if the folks at home want to want to check on our sources, we're getting this from MLB Trade Rumors. Marco Estrada's estimated salary would be $1.6 million, which, I mean, considering the season he had last year, I mean, that's a steal, I would think.
Yeah, I think with the way he pitches, we have time to see him adapt into maybe a stronger bit of a pitcher, because he is, like, I think 25, 26. So he has time, obviously. And he definitely built a case that Mike Fiers was building that Fiers kind of lost to be maybe a 2 or 3 in this rotation, and I think Estrada has earned that. Obviously, Giovanni Gallardo is the number 1 in 2013. It depends on if we do sign anybody, you know, free agent-wise to start, because then you have all these options. I think, honestly, you re-sign Chris Narvison as well, because I think he's still an arm we can use as a 4th or 5th guy, a guy we can still have some value out of.
Right. I mean, Narvison's only is going to be looking for around... it says here Narvison will be looking for around $800,000, which, I mean, we're going to give him 1 or 2 years. I mean, it's worth a shot, I guess, but the injury history with Narvison makes me think it's probably better off just letting him go.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of agree there. I mean, it's not like he has a huge amount of experience, but he still has some that I think would be a little bit valuable to this rotation. At least sign him for a year, see how he does. If he gets injured, toss him. If he doesn't do well, toss him. If he does well, then you kind of play, well, okay, do we keep him, do we not keep him? I think even if Narvison does well, there's still that test for him, because there's going to be guys in this rotation that are going to give him a lot of competition. And right. If they don't do well, then it looks good on Narvison. But it's going to be literally a matter of how much room do we have for this, you know, 25-man roster, for this rotation, for this entire pitching staff, you know, who's there and who's not. I would be fine with just getting Gomez, Axford, Estrada, and probably Lowe. Niger Morgan, it's not that I'm against getting, but I think that the fact that his job's been kind of lost to Carlos Gomez really kind of took away a little bit of value from him, because even if we don't use him, we can use Logan Schaefer. So, I mean, there's still guys that can be used in Morgan's spot, and yeah, he does offer, you know, some speed around the bases and speed in the outfield, but I don't really know if the Brewers really want to use the $2.6 million projected by MLB trade rumors on him.
Right. I think, like I said, I don't think he would win arbitration. I'm not even sure, you know, I'm not even sure what his value would be projected going forward. I mean, considering the season he had this year, where everything that went well for him last year went poorly this year, essentially. You know, he wasn't as solid of a bunter. He didn't hit to the gap as well. Overall, if you're a Niger Morgan or a Niger Morgan fan, you have to be very disappointed in the way that he played. I think if they do give him a deal, it's going to be extremely short. You know, it'll be like one season, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the block for most of that year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the fact that he lost his job to Carlos Gomez, and that Carlos Gomez is younger, offers a heck of a lot more than Niger Morgan does.
Right.
And it's just, we don't have any room for him. It's the same problem I was just talking about with Chris Narvison. It's just guys that they've run their course in Milwaukee. Really, I mean, there's no room for them, and there's no reason really to keep them, because it just eats, you know, salary money, and it just eats dollars that we don't really have and we could spend towards other people.
But, right.
And in that same regard, talking about spending money, this is something that the Brewers obviously will not do, and if they do, I'm going to be really questionable about it. There have been a lot of talks about, or at least mainly from Buster Olney, so I say a lot, and it's just really him, but...
right.
Josh Hamilton and the Brewers in 2013. Is this a viable option, Colin?
Well, there are a lot of operative words here that you have to use. Is it a viable option? Of course it would be. Having Hamilton on any team would be a very viable option. Is it a possible option? I don't know, because he's going to be looking for well north of 100, I would assume. But the way Buster Olney said was that if he doesn't get any offers north of that 100 million number and over 4 years, that's when the Brewers can make the strongest case. And, you know, he does have the relationship with Jerry Nairn, the Brewers bench coach, who was his, I believe it was his sponsor for his substance abuse problems.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely that relationship there that makes it enticing. But you have to think about the length of time, the amount of money, and kind of where do we put him. Carlos Gomez is good. Josh Hamilton's obviously better. It's a question of how much money we're going to have moving forward when we still have a substantial amount of Ricky's contract, a substantial amount of Ryan Braun's contract. You have extensions that you need to make for Corey Hart, an extension that you just paid to Jonathan Lucroy, and then you have paydays coming up for Aoki in 2013, Aramis Ramirez in 2013. John Axford's going to be looking for a longer-term deal at some point, I would imagine. If everything falls into place, it would have to fall into place perfectly to get Hamilton. And it would be the signing of the century for Doug Melvin if he could get him cheap and for a little while.
I don't see it. I don't like it. I don't want Hamilton. And people will think I'm crazy. What, you don't want Josh Hamilton? Well, no, because looking at a team like the Yankees, for example, because Colin and I were talking about before we started recording.
About how your Yankees got smacked, you mean?
I was trying to move on past that, you know? The blood pressure was seeping down, and now it's all back up again. But no, the Yankees obviously made that enormous contract to Alex Rodriguez. And obviously, Alex Rodriguez has not been performing like the Yankees have wanted him to in the past, you know, 3 years.
Right.
So that would be my problem, is if the Brewers signed Hamilton and he did the same thing, you're stuck with him then. Nobody's going to take that kind of money for an aging player who's on the decline. Yeah, and like you said, where do you put him? I'm not in favor of putting Hamilton in center and having Carlos Gomez platoon in right with Norichika Oki. I don't agree with that. Both of those players have earned their positions. Ryan Braun obviously has earned his spot in left. So you don't put Hamilton anywhere in the outfield. Offensively, the Brewers have it. You know, there's nothing wrong with their offense. I don't really see why anybody would really speculate as to why the Brewers could even make a deal with him. If anything, the Brewers are going to be making deals for pitching.
The only thing that I could see is that, and I'm willing to give only the benefit of the doubt, the only thing I could see is that they think that Milwaukee's out of the market for some reason for these big-name starting pitchers that are on the market. And if that's the case, and I can only pick one free agent to get a signature for, I'm going to take a huge power bat over any number of middle relievers or lower-end starting pitchers in order to hope that the deficit of runs that we create can overcome any shortcomings we have in pitching. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, but there's nowhere to put him, though. And you're just – if you bench Nori or if you bench Gomez, you're losing speed. Speed that Hamilton doesn't have. And that really hurts because then you guys who get into, you know, scoring position, Gomez steals bases, Aoki steals bases. And then all of a sudden you have Hamilton who can't catch fly balls in the outfield, he can't hit, and I'm not saying I'm basing Hamilton on what happened in the series with Oakland or the past half of 2012, but I just don't feel comfortable with it. If we can pursue the Dan Herons or the Kyle... I'm not even really that sold on Kyle Lowe's, and it's not because he's a Cardinal. It's just he's like a Ryan Dempsey-type pitcher where I just think he had one good fluke year, and that was it. I would honestly be more comfortable going after maybe Anibal Sanchez or Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But, you know, that's a different discussion. The fact is, I just don't see the Brewers even entertaining the thought of going after Hamilton. It doesn't fit where we are. It's kind of like salary suicide a little bit, because you already have all this money you have to pay to everybody else with extensions in mind, with arbitration in mind, and then you want to try to pay way past $100 million for Hamilton, I don't know if he really warrants the Brewers trying to go after him. And it's not that Hamilton is a bad player, it's just the fact that Hamilton costs too much money for two solid years of production and, you know, a risk beyond that. Whereas with Gomez, there's a future. With Aoki, there's a future. But with Hamilton, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong in saying that Hamilton's going to decline after 3-4 years. But I don't know. I mean, I look at guys like Albert Pujols, I look at guys like Alex Rodriguez, and I just get worried.
I would say this. Gomez does have a future. His future is a little bit more up in the air than, say, Aoki's is. But when you have a player like Josh Hamilton on the market, who you would agree right now is a elite-level player.
Yes.
When you have a player like that on the market, you have, I would say, as an organization, you have an obligation to see what you can do to get him. And I think more than that, that's where this discussion is starting from. Is that if you're a team who believes they can contend going down the road, you have an obligation to try to pick up the best talent you can. And if they can do it on the cheap, I think that you would be morally remiss to say you didn't even throw your hat in the ring. if he doesn't decline. If he does decline, you can look back and you can say, well, thank God we didn't make that contract happen.
Yeah, I mean, it is fair to say to at least, you know, go, okay, well, where do we go with this if it were to happen? But to actually do it is another thing, and I'm just like, eh. I mean, I can see only, you know, it was probably piecing this together thinking, well, the Brewers could use this if such and such happened. But the matter of the fact is, it would be nice in theory. A lot of things are nice in theory, this being one of them, but I just I just don't see it happening.
Right.
I just don't really see Texas wanting to get rid of him. Yeah, he struggled, like, maybe the past 3-4 weeks of the season. But, yeah. I mean, if you're Texas, you don't want to be coming into Cincinnati and go, wow, look at what we let go. You know, Cincinnati's still kicking themselves for that. So,
right.
I think one issue, yes, is do the Brewers want to risk that money in signing him and pursuing him? But the other option, the other thing this is, does Texas really want to let him go? I mean, obviously, Texas has huge contracts to pay with Darvish, with Ian Kinsler, with Elvis Andrus. You name it, they probably owe a lot of money to. Texas,
right.
Nolan Ryan seems to have an infinite bank account. That said, you know, there are those taxes that, you know, the MLB has implemented on teams that they can't overspend. So if Hamilton wants more money, I think Texas will decline, but we'll try to re-sign him at a lower rate. It's going to have to be a mutual thing here, obviously. But I don't really see any other teams really pursuing Hamilton unless they think he's the one.
I can agree with that, for sure. I would I would also think that, you know, I think Texas is going to make the effort to keep Hamilton. I don't think there's any question about that. But I also think when you're at the top of your game like Hamilton, there's no question that you're going to want to test the market as well. I think really all this discussion is, you know, Buster only and you know, Ken Rosenthal kind of falls in the same vein of people that tend to just throw stuff against the wall and then kind of see what sticks, come up with the interesting theories. They take a look at the possibilities that could happen. And they just throw them out there. And at this point, that's all this really is. It's certainly interesting to talk about. Certainly got us discussing it. But in terms of kind of where it goes in the future, you know, we'll have to just kind of wait and see it. I mean, really, obviously, the ball's in Hamilton's court. So.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw this, it's like one of those things that wakes you up at like 4 a.m. and you're just like, what? I mean, that was literally my reaction to it. I'm like, okay. And then I saw it, and I'm thinking, oh, he can't be serious. And then I started seeing more things about it, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know about this. I like Josh Hamilton as a player, but, you know, something also we need to factor in is team chemistry, and the Brewers have a good team chemistry. Hamilton, I don't know how he interacts with other players. I don't know Hamilton personally. I don't know the Brewers personally. But the Brewers are this small market team, and small market teams seem to just be a lot more tight-knit. Like, I was just watching earlier some commercials that the Seattle Mariners had made before the 2012 season. And yeah, the Seattle Mariners are obviously not the best team in baseball. They're far from it. But they have fun with what they do. You know, you see the teams that, you know, do the pies in the faces and other pranks on each other. Those are the teams that have fun. I just feel like, maybe it's wrong for me to say this because I don't know anybody, obviously, personally in this, but I don't know how Hamilton would really affect the Brewers clubhouse and how the team morale would go, you know? Because he's had his problems with alcohol. He's had his problems with his relapses and things like that. And we'll get into a discussion after this about K-Rod that we need to talk about people that affect the clubhouse and things like that. I don't know how Hamilton would handle it.
I think Milwaukee would be a good place for him in terms of that. I mean, the clubhouse in Milwaukee is very tight-knit, but it's also pretty accepting of new people. I mean, Zach Greinke fell right in, you know, Sean Markham fell right into the group. Nigel Morgan is obviously a little bit of a wild card, but he also kind of dropped right into that kind of family feeling. And with Jerry Nairn there, again, for 2013 at least, it wouldn't be, I don't think it would be that much of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just one of those speculation things that we've really...
You feel like it's too pricey and it's too dangerous, and that's okay.
Yeah, Well, that aspect of it, though, I mean, obviously, we don't know him personally, so we don't know how he interacts with his own teammates. So, I mean, there's that. I kind of wonder how it would affect team morale, things like that, but it could be for the better, it could be for the worse. I don't know. You know, I'm not the baseball gods. I don't decide, you know... who wins the World Series and why the Yankees aren't in it, but
Detroit's winning the World Series. That's okay.
I'm sorry, that's not San Francisco. Hey, Lincecum's pitching game 4. You know, they're going to win now.
Yeah.
Okay, the last topic I want to get into before Skype, you know, decides to have a meltdown or my computer does or, you know, a nuclear bomb goes off in somewhere.
Right.
Is an article I wrote 2 days ago that I wanted to expand on a little bit more in this podcast. And it's a shame, like I said before, that we don't have Lou for this, because I know how he would go on this. It was kind of if we had, who was your buddy? Caesar's Terrace, if we were talking about Caesar's Terrace here.
Right. But, he would go absolutely bananas over this, Lou would.
Okay. The thing is, back in September, late September, Francisco Rodriguez was arrested for domestic violence. I believe he beat up or did something to his girlfriend or wife, and then 2 years ago, back in 2010, when he was with the Mets, he did the same thing, but to his wife or girlfriend's dad. I don't want to get into the really personal details about it, because I don't feel like that's my place. I'm just reporting what I read.
Right.
Obviously, K-Rod is a mental case. There's really nothing else to say about him other than the fact that he is a danger to teams. He is the thorn in teams. He is the guy that he needs to channel his anger into baseball. And if he did, he would be a legend overnight. I mean, he's 6 saves shy of 300. He's only 30. This guy has a lot of potential to do really well, but not with the Brewers. He has a lot of anger issues. He's argued with countless managers and players and God knows what, probably hot dog vendors and cotton candy guys. But I will not be sad to see him go.
Yeah, and, you know, the jury was all but out on Francisco Rodriguez as 2012 was ending. And now this is just one of those things where you're looking for a reason and you found it, you know? I think that, you know, he has had attitude problems in the past, and for the most part, his stellar performances have kind of outpaced that, but now, you know, he's very vocal about wanting to be the closer in Milwaukee, and we gave him a shot to be the closer, and he couldn't do it, and then there were other problems that came into that about his contract and whatever. It's time to end our relationship with Francisco, and I don't think there was a whole lot of question about it before, and again, this just cements what we already assumed was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really more you can say about this, just to the fact that it was just... everything that happens in baseball is one of two things. It's a risk, and it's unpredictable. Baseball is literally the most unpredictable thing in life ever. Think of one thing in life that's more unpredictable than baseball. You can't.
Right.
You really can't. Rodriguez obviously has his off the field issues. You know, every player does. But to be this in the news about it all the time, to where I believe to some degree it does affect him on the field, if he can't get that straightened out, I don't know how he's going to do with another team. I thought when we got him, you know, last year in the trade, I thought, okay, you know, he has some things he's done right, you know, with the Angels and with the Mets, so, you know, he can kind of bring that in here. But that never happened. He did good for the part that we had him in 2011, and then 2012 hits, and it's just beyond a train wreck with him. We gave him a lot of shots on the field to try and prove that, okay, if you want to be the closer, here you go. He couldn't do it. Oxford got his job back. You know, the Brewers did call it, you know, the committee bullpen, something like that, to where there wasn't a set closer, but we all knew it was Axford.
Right.
It's kind of a weird thing here, because I feel bad for the next team that gets him, but in the same regards, I feel kind of good, because we know he's not our problem anymore. And it's not that I want to see Francisco Rodriguez do bad, and I'm not saying this because I think he's an awful person. That has nothing to do with it. I'm not bringing how I feel about Francisco Rodriguez into this. I'm just saying he has the potential to be a really good closer. He has been in the past. I would like to see that happen to him again, but it's not going to happen with us. It's going to have to be with another team, and I hope to God it isn't St. Louis.
Right.
So, I mean, this is... He cleaned up somebody's mess, which we took from the Mets, because we knew what he was like with the Mets, and then we take him into our clubhouse, and he just really kind of just peed on the ground. He didn't really take his chances with a lot of stride. I mean, yeah, there were some games that he would be absolutely lights out. It would be, you know, K-Rod in the 8th, Axford in the 9th, game over. In 2012, right. That wasn't the case as so much, and I don't know what to say about this man. I wish him the best of luck wherever he goes, but the Brewers do not need him again, or anybody really like him.
No. I mean, and that's obvious.
So, well, we have been following the full league a little bit. Not too much. We're going to really talk about it. Brock Plygard, I believe, had 2 home runs the other day, or 2 home runs in 2 different games. Hunter Morris has been doing well. Colin, what have you noted really about the fall league?
You know, as much as I've been following it, I've been impressed with Plygard, who's had a lot of plate discipline issues for most of his career, and he's done very well. Obviously, there's a ton of buzz around Hunter Morris, and that continues. You know, the fall league, you want to take a lot from it. You always want to, you know, say that, oh, when this stuff happens, you look at people that were in it before, like Ricky Weeks and Ryan Braun. You know, you want to say that these are going to be the stars of the future, but you do have to take a little bit with a grain of salt. But so far, I mean, Brock Plygard's been doing fantastic. Hunter Morris isn't quite up to where we thought he would be. Chris Davis is proving more and more that he's kind of, I don't want to say overrated, but he has a long way to go, I guess is what I would say. Haven't seen a whole lot from Johnny Helweg. Kyle Heckerthorn has been not the greatest so far. And Santo Manzanillo, who a lot of people think is going to be the closer of the future, is kind of blown up. He only had one performance so far. But that ERA of 33.75 is going to be difficult to climb back out of, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at this now, and just... I thought at first maybe there was an extra 3 in there or something, and I saw, no, that's 33, all right.
No, yep, 5 earned runs in off 4 hits in an inning in the 3rd.
I was going for Johnny Helweg, though. He's the only player on the team so far, which I think they've only played a handful of games, that actually has a save.
Right.
He's pitched 4 innings, allowed 2 hits, walked 2, struck out 3, and he has a save. No runs scored, no unearned runs. So maybe there's something there for Helweg. If he does well, the Brewers will see how he does in spring training next year. And maybe he'll earn himself a spot on the, you know, 40-man into the 25-man. And maybe he'll be in the bullpen. Who knows?
Yeah, I think seeing a Johnny Helweg arrival is highly possible in 2013. Really, I think the surprise story for everyone has been Brock Plygard, though. Only 1 strikeout and 7 at-bats. So, I mean, that's something that he needed to work on terribly. And it seems to be coming around. So,
yeah, he's 4-for-7. So.
Yeah.
All right, guys, stay tuned for 2 weeks from now on October 31st. That will tentatively be our next podcast. So thank you again for listening.
We'll broadcast in costume.
Yes. See ya.
See you guys.